bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Yes, I bless that wonderful name. Hallelujah. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. No other name I know. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. No other name I know. No other name I need to know. And what a privilege it is to know that name. If I didn't know that name, I have no promises. I have nothing coming. Because everything that we do and say is in His name. Remember when the woman came to our Lord Jesus and she said, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me"? That wasn't His name at the time. That was a future portion of His ministry. That's who He will be in the millennium. Right? So you've got to call Him by the right name. And it's not so much the words or the name, but the name is who He is. Present tense. Amen? Present tense unfolding. Hallelujah. Well, we sure did enjoy the choir tonight. Once again, thank you for your labors and efforts. And of course, every time we say that, we also are including the musicians and sound workers and all those that the unsung heroes that have a part in this as well. Amen. Praise His wonderful name. Well, you ready for the word tonight? We sure were blessed this morning. Amen. My goodness, I'm just praying that we'll take the pause button off. You know, service closed, we hit pause, and now we just lift it off and let's just pick up right where we left off, and whatever direction the Lord wants to take. And we're not dictating the direction, but we're expecting His presence. In fact, He's in the building tonight. He's in the house. How many believe that? If He's in the house, anything can happen. Whatever you have need of, He's your provider. Amen. He knows just what we need. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm praying for the day that all of you loosen up. That it isn't just certain ones that are, you know, some are standing there, "Well, I'm just not the shouting type." Well, you haven't stepped into His presence yet. The Bible's full of people that came into His presence. They either fell on their face or they shouted or they cried. Something happened. There's no way you can come in His presence and stay the same. Amen? You say you're trying to work something up. No, I'm just trying to push you into His presence. He's here. Amen? We don't want His presence to go unrecognized. That's the failure in every age. They'll talk about who He was, they'll talk about who He's going to be, and they fail to recognize Him in their midst. Amen. I want to worship the King tonight. In spirit and in truth. Amen. So we'll just continue to worship as our brother comes. Brother Ron from Virginia. We're just so thankful to have him with us. This being the last service for, unless we somehow maybe are late to take him to the airport. Or I didn't say that, did I? He told me, "Brother Doug, I got to go back to the cold weather." Yeah, it sounds like a real problem, doesn't it? This would be a good place to be broke down, wouldn't it? Oh, man. You gotta stay in 70 degree weather. Ain't God good? Amen. Amen. Let's sing that song. "I Just Want to Be Where You Are." As our brother Ron comes tonight, we want him to take his full liberty. Just take your watch off. Tomorrow's tomorrow. Don't do your grocery list tonight. Some of you aren't even listening to me. You're watching people go to the bathroom. Haven't you seen that before? The King is here tonight. He's in the house. "I just want to be where You are, dwelling daily in Your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where You are. I just want to be where You are, in Your dwelling place forever. Lord, Lord, take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. Is that your desire here tonight? I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, and surrounded by your glory. For in your presence, that's where I always want to be. I just want to be, yes, I just want to be with you. Oh my God, oh my God, you are my strength and my song. When I'm in your presence, thank you, Lord. Amen. I just wanna be where you are, in your dwelling place forever. Take me, Lord. Take me to the place where he's here tonight, friends. I just want to be. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, and surrounded by your glory. For in your presence, that's where I always want to be. I just want to be. I just want.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know who's been the most blessed. I'd like to thank you. Your atmosphere just makes me so excited. Thank you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Don't you love him? Amen. I sure have enjoyed the singing this evening. Amen. That ought to drive every devil in hell away. Amen. I so love that song just now. Brother Doug just sung. Amen. Thank you for that, Brother Doug. Amen. Amen. Isn't he a great God? He's such a wonderful Lord Jesus. He just knows how to speak to our hearts. Amen. Amen. I love you with all my heart. And thank you for our time here. My voice seems a bit weak tonight, but we will work. Amen. Would like for you to remember we have a nephew that is 17 years old, and he has a liver disease called Wilson's. And today he came down with last night came down with a very bad infection. And so they're keeping him at a very high level. And so if you can just remember him in prayer. Almost overnight, he went from a very hearty 17 year old boy that was very well structurally built, and that enemy came and took a swipe at him. But we rebuke that thing in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. The last time I was with you, I was, Brother Doug, we had a meeting, your convention, and I was a speaker, and I remember I spoke a sermon called Sacred Sands. And the Lord just did some special things. During that time, my Brother Doug was a busy man, and so he had a fellow that took care of me, Brother Henry. And this morning, as I left my motel room, I turned and we walked outside, and I just turned, and when I turned, I saw a vision of being praying for Brother Henry. And this morning, at the end of the service, whether you know it or not, back at the back, I was able to. Brother Henry came to me, and I was able to pray with him. Amen. And so we thank the Lord for that. What a wonderful God. Amen. Amen. We love you with all of our hearts. I just want to share some thoughts that's on my heart this evening, and I appreciate you as for being such a wonderful audience. But I believe I'm speaking to the right group. You know, sometimes things happen and it's just not the right moment. But I believe I'm speaking to the right group. And so, and let me just give you a for instance. We're very familiar with prayer lines, and we're very familiar listening to God's prophet as he would speak to individuals in the prayer line. God was always very accurate. And in most of the occasions, I would say it in that term, most of the occasions, they knew all that was being told to them. And he would call them by name. They knew that. He would tell them their address, and they knew that. He would tell them what the doctor told them, and they knew that. He would tell them to not be nervous. There's something standing between you and I. They also knew that. Because they had stepped into something they were never, had never been in their life. And they knew that everything in their life was totally exposed. In that presence, it was just, they just knew they couldn't go home the same. Now that was the moment that you must catch what's going on. Many walked across that and they were told all of those things and missed it. Getting a prayer card, having a prophet to tell you what was wrong, and then to go across it and miss it. What a tragedy that would be. I was thinking today of the words that I'm getting ready to speak to you tonight, and I was thinking, now if I was invited to the local charismatic group, or the biggest Baptist church here in town, or maybe the biggest assembly, my words tonight would be, like you were speaking to somebody else. And wouldn't mean anything to them. But to the bride of Jesus Christ who knows who she is, the words that are being delivered to you, you recognize who you are and what you've been sent for. And you look at it and say, he's talking about me. Amen. I want to speak to you just for a little while on commissioned to be the final voice. Amen. Amen. Maybe you have a need that you'd like to just say, Lord, would you just pass by my way this evening? Almighty God, how we love you with all of our hearts. Now, Lord, as we turn toward your word, we ask you that you would come and speak. I surrender myself to you. I give myself, Father, wholeheartedly to you as the speaker. But not only do I want to be the speaker, but I want to be the hearer as well. Now, Lord, all across this audience, hands has been raised before you. And I'm ever astounded how that you can take one voice and speak, maybe just a word or a sentence or even a paragraph in a sermon, to make it so personal to every individual. Now, Lord, I would ask you that you would help us to just catch our portion, Father, today. Lord, what a great group that this is. I ask you to bless this audience. And I was complimenting Brother Doug for what a beautiful building and what a beautiful group of people. But Father, you're the one that has gathered us. And I ask you that you would minister to us this evening. We have felt your presence and very aware that you're very near now. And Lord, I ask you, Father, to take all the weariness from our flesh for just a bit. May that just lift from us just now. Lord, even what's to happen next week or the coming weeks, may we just put that aside for just now. Lord, may we witness that you came to where we're at. Lord, and we bring Samuel before you now. Lord, I just ask you that you touch that young man. Lord Jesus, here I stand at the post of duty, many miles away. But Father, may you walk into that room and touch his body. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. God bless you. If you will turn with me to St. John chapter 17 this afternoon. Amen. God bless you for me being a little bit slow. And But us Virginians can't hardly say hello in 5 minutes. And so, amen. Amen. John 17 and verse 1. This is Jesus coming to his very final words. He's coming to the last moments. Those are the important times when we've crushed everything to the last. And everything now becomes very important. And these words spake Jesus and lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth, and I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. What a statement that we could say, I have finished the work. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I have had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou hast given them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. God bless you this evening. You may be seated. I have to be very honest with you. Just that scripture reading almost overwhelms me. I want to read about you just now. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, this preacher is getting ready to read about me. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21. To him that overcometh. Will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcome, and am set down with my Father in his throne. That was you. Now that was written almost 2,000 years ago, but he had you on his mind. And he knew how to gather you. He knew how to get you here. I heard Brother Doug say about excitement just a while ago. That ought to make you excited. Now I want to, you know, sometimes we like to look at our heritage and kind of where we come from and where we are. And even what our now charge is. So if you could just give me just a few moments, I'd like to read about that as well. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 32. What more? And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah and David and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promise, stop the mouths of lions. None of these had wings on their backs. And I say 99.9 of them never saw the pillar of fire. All of them were human vessels like you and I was, but they refused to quit. They were built to overcome in their day. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. not accepting deliverance. Can you imagine how Paul felt as this was coming? As he was writing these things down. Now he becomes the very one that is inspired to write, listen, volumes of biographies. And now they're going to be given a portion of the scripture of God's hall of faith. Are you with me now? Just allow me to be myself. Can you imagine? If they could have stood in another realm, and he said, and they could look at what Paul is writing across his shoulder and say, he's talking about me. Hallelujah. That they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. Stoned. John Wesley was stoned 5 different times. You think you've had a bad day? John Wesley was 5'1", redheaded. You like that? 5'1", redheaded. He was a little bitty man. His wife was an absolute nut. She would tear up all of his writings. And he was a literary genius. I'd say probably maybe comparable to Brother Doug. Brilliant man. And he's preaching a gospel that's getting him stoned over and over again. Did he quit? I went back and read his diary. You're talking about dry reading. I went back and read his diary, and his diary would come. Today, I was stoned and left for dead. And after a while, I came to myself, and he shook the rocks off. And I walked home. This was a church age messenger. Not one time that he's talking about, 5 different times in his life. They hated the voice of that messenger so bad until they wanted to destroy it. Did he quit? Did he sell out? He could have went back to writing books. As a literary genius, he could have sold his gift for a lot of things. Oh, help me preach now. Hallelujah. He refused to give up. Forgive me for stopping just there. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us. Hallelujah. They without us should not be made perfect. That ought to give you a charge to finish like never before. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are so compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and he just encompasses all of them, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Are you with me? That's an us. None of us exempt from that. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now who are we looking to? Not another man. But we're looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Can I just read another scripture for you today? Same writer of Hebrews 11, Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things The scripture's written on our refrigerators. It's written in many workplaces. But it's more than just a poetic statement. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also been predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. God, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, he's already called you. He predestinated you. He called you. Are you with me? He sees the end. Are you with me? He not only saw your beginning, but he sees your end. And if he could see your beginning and he can see your end, he knows where you are right now. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Brother Ron, I've had some trouble. Well, this scripture's for you. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I want to say this to you. Regardless of what voice should rise against you in your life, every one of us are going to go through the hall of critics. Are you with me? Every one of us are. You are going to have sparring sessions that are in your privacy. People are going to spar. They're going to spar in the invisible realm. Are you with me? Especially in this social media day, you are going to be thrown asunder. You're going to be stoned. You're going to be sawed. You're going to be torn apart. And God knew that would happen to you. But let me just say, I don't care who's against you. If God's for you, who can be against you? He that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Brother Bram said, all of heaven is yours. And let me just say this to you tonight. God just didn't reserve a portion for you. He gave you everything in this day. He delivered the seals, the thunders. He delivered it all to you. The whole inheritance is yours. You do not have to have a pity party and say, I just don't have hardly any portion. It's all yours. You have to grab a hold of it and claim it for yourself. Are you with me? Forgive me, I'm just going to preach to you tonight. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Here is a man writing from a prison. Now let's just think about it. He's not writing from a plush office. He doesn't have people that are waiting on him. But here's a man that looks beyond his circumstances and writes some of the most powerful scripture that will ever be written in history. Here is a man in a little while is going to be literally, his body is going to be severed apart. And he's expecting his end to come at just any time. He is not writing to you a pity party. He is not blogging, oh, feel sorry for me just now. He's screaming these words. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 33, who shall lay any charge to the God's elect? It is God that justifieth. And if God justified me, it's as though I never did it in the first place. I'm going to quit beating myself to death. I'm going to take God at his word. I'm going to march forward. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, and we're accounted as a sheep for a slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him that loveth us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers or things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome him, because greater is he that is in you. I want to ask you, do you believe this right now? It is a waste of time to go forward anymore if you don't believe that part. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There must be something in this final voice to the final age. There must be a refusal to give up. Brother Ron, but I'm witnessing people fall aside. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. But you couldn't hold them anyway. The greatest preachers on earth couldn't hold them. But you must remember who's holding you. We have heard it said, when you come to the end of the rope, tie a knot and hang on. Well, that's an interesting statement. But we must also realize that we're not the one that's hanging on. He's hanging on to us. We must have these orders. Never, 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 never give up. The song says, onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. How many sung that song? Not only sung it, but said it, but also believed it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. Not that we're sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Are you with me? Just take all the puff up and the turned around collars. And I think I am. Oh no. We are absolutely zero without God. Are you with me? Brother Ron, you ought to know me before I was in it, before I was saved. Thank God I didn't. I'm glad you didn't know me. Your old book was a stinker. Well, Brother Ron, my name is so-and-so. Well, you still needed the blood of Jesus Christ. You still needed to be saved. Nicodemus, being a secret believer. Listen, he knew the scriptures, he knew the word, he knew the prophecies. And he comes to Jesus because he has a need of a greater understanding. And Jesus teaches to him the new birth. There's a lot of people that know the message of the hour, and I'm not jabbing now, but we need to know more than the message. Your computer can quote the message of the hour, but it can't live it. So don't argue with me a bunch of quotes. I want to see life. That's what shakes the devil. Are you with me? And even Paul prayed for a certain thing thrice. And chapter 12, verse 9 of 2 Corinthians. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 29. He giveth power to the faint. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Brother Ron, who are you talking about? I'm talking about every person in this building. Because if you're not careful, you'll need to go back to the recharging station. Just don't eat for a little while and you'll start getting weak. You must remember where your resources come from. You must always remember where the recharging comes from.
Oh, Brother Ron, I'm just waiting on everybody else to catch up with me. You're setting yourself up for failure. Oh, I'm more spiritual than everybody else. You're setting yourself up for failure. If you're depending on your abilities and your talents and your... You got to depend on the Word of God. And in any battle, they try to cut the source of strength off. They try to cut the resources off. And once they get the resource line cut off, when they get the supply line cut off, then they turn and start on the individuals. They begin to fight. If the enemy can cut off your resources, I just need to take a vacation from church. I just need to get away for a while. I just need to kind of get away to myself for just a little while. You know, maybe 6 months from now, I'll come back. Forgive me for preaching to the snowbirds. Forget where I'm at. But if Satan can get you cut off from fellowship with one another and get you isolated all by yourself and get you into a cave, a pity party. Now the enemy, if he can't push you down, he'll push you up. He'll have you to know that you know more than the pastor. And he's just, you know, before long he's giving you excuses that you have more revelation than he's got. And you don't need him to explain anything to you. Now sometimes we consider, forgive me, I'm just going to preach. Sometimes we look at an individual that's backsliding and they're beginning to tamper in sin and begin to tamper and we go, oh God, help them. But sometimes we should pray for those that think that they know more than everybody else. Because they are also backslidden. That's not a new statement. I borrowed that from a preacher that preached that 400 years ago. Hallelujah. That's a direct quote. Hallelujah. So don't even blame that one on Brother Branham. Isaiah 40 and 29. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even to the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Isaiah 54 and verse 16. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that which bringeth forth an instrument for his work. I have created the waster to destroy. Why would God take his time to tell us and remind us that he created the enemy? Now listen, if God's telling us, I created the enemy. Are you with me? I built him as an enemy. I built him as the antitype to everything that I am. I created him as the darkness to the light. Are you with me? He built his enemy so that you can know victory. And there can be no victory without some battles in your life. And you must fight for every inch of ground that you've got. We're reminded that character is a victory. It is not a gift. But remember, that's not the end of that statement. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. That's powerful enough for you to take a rapture on right there tonight. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. You're talking about a day of tattletales. If you've had children, some of you have, maybe some of you haven't. Some of those that haven't are always good at instructing others that have. I hear people say, when my child, it'll never act like that. I always kind of jot that down in my life. I've been a pastor long enough to see people eat those words. Woo, I've been getting too loose. I've got grandchildren in my home. And sometimes they'll come running to me and they'll tell me, this one done that, this one done that. And I'll tell them, We don't want tattletales in this house. I'm a popo. It's not my daddy turn. That was a turn. Now I'm a popo. Don't be fussing and fighting here in this house. You kids get along. Are you with me now? But it's just inbuilt in you. So every time the devil picks on you, write it down. Remember, one day it'll come in handy. Now you overcome him right now, but remember it. Because you'll tattletale one of these days. And your voice against him will be the voice that will condemn him. Glory! So every time that depressing devil comes around, write it down. But take it on headstrong. And allow the light of the gospel to blow the darkness away. Amen. We talked this morning about the power of prayer. Let me just give you a few examples. Moses prayed. We hear our prophets speak, why Christ speak in other sermons. Moses prayed. And the greatest military genius in the whole world became fish food. Million people. This is beyond comprehension. Walked across the same ground on dry ground. And the greatest army with the most sophisticated weapons of the day became fish food. Daniel prayed. I know this is a reminder to you. Daniel prayed. When Daniel prayed, those lions laid around him all night. He came out totally 100% unscathed. Later, the lions, same lions, devoured the people that tried to destroy him. Because Daniel prayed. So when your enemy attacks you, it might be a good thing for you to pray. They'll get their turn. Forgive me for just, I just find way too much joy in all of this. We talk about athletes. We talk about their ability and their great gifts. They're human. Their human ability to be able to run great big long marathons. The incredible training that goes in to preparing to be able to run a marathon. They run. They get themselves in shape. They're not built like me. You can't do 26 miles and look like I look. But we find an athlete in the scriptures. Elijah prayed. And he outrun the fastest horses in all of the enemy's camp. This was not a 26 mile run. But history records in one place, this was 40 miles. Can you imagine their astonishment when Elijah shows up first? I want to remind you, to him that overcometh. Not to him that quits halfway through. This is not to him that gives up. You might want to have your friends that have seemed to got discouraged along life's way to listen to this message tonight. Not because they hear my voice, but there's something inside that's calling to you to encourage you tonight. Are you with me now? 10 years ago, I was waking up after a month's sleep, a period of even being non-responsive, a period to where that I had no control of my surroundings. And Tim Pruitt was standing in front of me, Brother Tim Pruitt, been a buddy for many, 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 many years, way too many more, and he's still black-headed, I'm way white-headed. But he's standing in front of me, and he's talking to me. And in his conversation, I'm telling him of my surroundings, and I'm looking into another dimension. You might want to be critical here, but it's all right. In the room is a lady that I'm very familiar with. Actually, can even know her smell. But also, our prophet was in the room as a young man. And I begin to describe to them, Brother Branham is here. And so they begin to talk to me. Brother Tim said, I begin to preach to you. He said, I begin to preach to you, realizing what condition that you were in, that you might be going home. So he said, I was determined to preach to that seed on the inside, that it would take hold with faith. And he began to tell me, Brother Doug, you've got more preaching to do. You've got a purpose to serve. You got a purpose to stay here. You got a purpose. I want to preach to you tonight. You may be weary and tired on this Sunday evening, but I want you to grab a hold of yourself just for a moment. You got a purpose here. Are you with me? Tucson needs a light in this generation to be the final voice to the final age. Are you with me? Don't get carried away what everybody else is doing. Just do what you do. And what you do it well. You got a work to do. You got a purpose to accomplish. Oh, glory to God. Nobody can say it like you say it. Nobody can sing it like you sing it. Nobody can preach it like you preach it. Give it all your heart. Are you with me? Now, if this ain't for you, it's all right. It's all right. Well, Brother Ron, this ain't for me. Well, it's not for the Baptists either. It's not for the Charismatics either. As a matter of fact, if I went and preached it at T.D. Jakes Church, they wouldn't want it either. If I preached it at Benny Hinn's congregation, they wouldn't want it either. Are you with me? Are you with me now? I don't get any of those invitations. And neither would I be impressed with any of them. But I am impressed with people that say, he's talking about me. Now, you may not be physically standing in the prayer line now, just now. But God knows your name. And he knows what you've been going through. And he knows what your situation is. And he knows what your bank account association is. He knows what all your friends are. And you may be the only one on your workforce that's a real Christian. Are you with me now? You may be the only businessman, are you with me, in that neighborhood that's a real Christian. You may be the only child in your school that's a real Christian. God don't have to put 10,000 people around you to prop you up. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Are you with me tonight? Somewhere you must recognize that you've been sent here for a purpose. Oh, glory to God. This is my time. Don't miss your time. Don't miss your time. Don't miss your purpose. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, let me just give you something that you might understand. Maybe the sisters in the church. No, Sister Jennifer, she does this too, so it'll be all right. You go hunting. You get all your gear together. You get the best gear that you can get, best gear that you can afford. You get the best gun, best bow. Whatever you take with you, you get it ready. You go out and set and you get ready. You get the best binoculars that there is. But so happens, you decide, something just comes over and you go, I'm just so weary, I think I'll take a nap. And during your nap, a 14-point buck comes 20 yards from you. You prayed. You sought God. You would have spoken into existence if you'd have had the ability to.
It's good, ain't it, Brother JJ? It's good, ain't it? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Was it God's fault? Well, Brother Ron, you're just making up a story. Well, I really wish I was. It wasn't God's fault for me either. I was the one that got unalert. I was the one that hit the pause button. I think sometimes we do that in church. Sometimes when I'm not preaching and I'm sitting and get to watch the audience, I try not to do that while I'm preaching. Because there's things that people do with their fingers they would whip their children for. And I sat and I listened to the sermon. And I think, what an powerful. We prayed about this meeting. We've got ourselves ready for this meeting. And I'm looking for where it's going. And I know as a pastor how it's to be landing. And this is what I prayed for. And I begin to look across the audience. And the individual that it's intended for, I can see. God just sent the word right in back. And they're in another dimension, and it wasn't God. I'm sure that went on in Brother Branham's meetings. Because you can hear him admonish the congregation to try to get them with him. And he would pause for just a little while and try to gather their thoughts in. And even sometimes tell a story to attract their attention again. Now they enjoyed the story, but the mysteries they were missing. Are you with me now? You don't believe what I'm saying? Just look around. Our audience should be multiple times bigger than this, but people sit and hit the snooze button and miss what God was doing. Oh, hallelujah. I don't want to miss God.
If we're not careful, we'll blame others. Now I realize that many have been hurt because many people hurt their own self. They don't need any help. Cause their own situations. But sometimes people get hurt and it wasn't their fault. I remember one time I got in a wagon. And I told my brother to push me off of the hill. It was not my brother's fault that I couldn't guide the wagon as it gained speed. And I began to tumble and tumble and tumble. And I came up one tooth short. Thank God for dentist. Now I could have blamed my brother, but it was I who got in the wagon. I want you to get some of these things, and I'm sorry for taking a little bit of time here. A lot of times we blame everybody else for our situation. Are you with me? We're going to get some battle scars. We was not called to a picnic here.
We're going to have to fight some battles. This is Laodicea, where everybody wants to have their own rights, and it's a lukewarm, and everybody's got the flu but you. But you have been inoculated from the Laodicean flu. So somebody's going to be excited about this word. I choose to be that part. Are you with me? I don't want to miss anything that God's doing. Brother Ron, I need a quote. I'm glad you asked that question. Paul says it like this. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. What a statement is that? I have kept the faith. And anytime you feel like giving up, just go back and read what he went through. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only. He's talking about me. But unto all them. Unto all of them. Also that love. Love is appearing. Let's listen to him talk one more time. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing that I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the prize for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Brother Ron, I need another quote. I'm glad you asked. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 57. And it came to pass as they went in a certain way. A certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I refuse to look back. Now listen to our prophet. God's strategy is to take empty human vessels and shake the world with them. Not just a little bit, and we'll go, like at Pentecost. At Pentecost, what did he do? It taken them 10 days to get all emptied up. But they was all standing there with their vessels turned up, and God took himself and filled them up. That's all. They shook the world. Poured himself into them. That's what we need today. That's what we need today is empty vessels. Yes, sir, so God can fill them up. You cannot take them. I got a bypass a lot here. You cannot use them as long as they're already filled up. They're full of theological training. God can't use you. God's got to have empty vessels so he can fill them up. Didn't Elijah say, go and get some vessels and borrow a lot of oil and we'll see if we can't get a full sale price on it. And you will get a little bit more and you can pay your neighbor back. He said, just get empty vessels. That's all you need. The prophet said, I'm so glad that a man can so completely serve God and tell the devil don't know what to do with him. Amen. Glory to God. Boo devil. Boo devil. Now listen to the prophet of God. He says he knows that if the people get the true revelation of what the true church and what she is and what she stands for, that she can do the greater works. She will be an invincible army. Now I must say, I've been around the message since I was a little bitty boy. Actually diapered. I've heard that quote thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of times. And you may have heard that quote thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of times. But until you believe that you're the fulfillment of that. Give you an example. Brother Branham has a vision. And he's talking about a man that's hurt on a farm piece of equipment. And that man's been crippled. And Congressman Upshaw responds, he's talking about me. Are you with me now? You see, having the vision was not what healed him. Because he knew what the situation was. But he began to respond, he's talking about me. And as we preach over and over again, whoever preaches in this pulpit, as they begin to preach to you, you're getting ready to have a meeting. And I know it'll be a great meeting. But let me just say this to you. You must recognize that God has sent men of God to remind you of who you are. And even though you've heard quotes like I've just delivered to you thousands upon thousands upon thousands of times, until you realize that that quote is talking about you. Oh, glory to God. Until you realize that you're bone of his bone, life of his life, power of his power, spirit of his spirit. Glory to God. God wants to use your hands. He wants to use your feet. He wants to hear you use your vocal cords. Oh, glory to God. Let the naysayers say what they want to. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Can you give me just a few more minutes? Now the prophet says, now everybody can't be a preacher, but you got a voice. And if you can't preach the people a sermon, if you're a preacher, you're called to the pulpit to preach. If you're not, you're still a preacher. But live the people a sermon. Let your sermon be lived. And it's the voice of God that'll bring a reproach to them who reject it. I've heard people talk. And you would think that they know all about this message. But they couldn't live it day one. You know, sometimes when we go to the doctors, and here comes a resident student in. And he walks into the room, and he's got a coat on. He's got the stethoscope around his. He's got a little name tag on. Now, you wouldn't be very excited if today you was having brain cancer. And he walked up to your bed and he said, good evening, I'm Ron Spencer. And I've looked at all your charts and I've studied all your situation. And we're going to be going into your brain about at least an inch deep in your brain. And we're going to take off part of your skull and we're going to dig down in there and we're going to get that part out that's not right. And we're going to fix all that. We're going to put you back together. And in about a year, you're going to be okay. But I just want to tell you, this is my first time I ever did it. If you've got any common sense at all, you'll scream to the mountaintops. Somebody help me. But God sent you voices in this day. Seasoned men of God that's been through some real difficulties, that fought some real fights. And in some of your darkest times, in some of your darkest valleys, you'll have a voice screaming out to you, stay in line. Stay in line. You'll hear a familiar voice to you screaming, stay in line. Get back in line. Hallelujah. Give me a preacher. Give me a Christian. Give me a housewife that's a Christian. Give me a farmer. Give me a factory worker that'll put God first in everything. And I'll show you a man that'll be successful in spite of all that the devil can put on him. Oh, glory to God. Oh, how we need in Jeffersonville thousands of lived voices. The thunder of God, thundering out sweetness, holiness, purity, undefiled lives, walking around in the earth today without a blemish. Real Christians, that's thunder against the enemy.
The devil don't care how loud you can holler. The devil don't care how much you can jump or how much you can do this or shout. But what hurts the devil is to see that sanctified, holy life consecrated to God. Say anything to him. Call him anything. Just as sweet as he can be. And move right on. That throws him away. Oh, hallelujah. That's the thunder. I like this kind of thunder. That's the thunder that shakes the devil. Amen. How old are you? How old are you? Yeah. 21. How long have you been a Christian? 2 years. 2 years. How many of you remember when he first come in? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know anything about you. I know I saw a picture of you the other day that you killed a really nice deer. I'm really impressed with that. I'm really impressed. You did really good. Yeah. Yeah. I like the way you comb your hair. You got your part in the same, kind of the same place where I'm at. I really like that. Yeah. I like that. You're a good looking guy. My theophany probably looks a little bit like that. You're about the age of the rapture, somewhere in that spot. That's kind of God's picture of what you look like. And, you know, so don't never lose that vision of what you look like right here. Are you with me now? Are you with me now? He's been here 2 years. He's been here 2 years. Now listen, I want you to think about this just for a moment. What could he have been doing? What God has kept him from doing. That's a victory. That's an absolute victory. I was sitting studying this afternoon, and as I was studying, these young people outside fighting and fussing and screaming, finally got to crying, and their life is desperate. One was hollering, please don't leave me, please don't leave me, please don't leave me. And I thought about you young people sitting here today. Are you with me? The world falling around, all the place around, but God's got some young people in this generation. Young people in this generation that defies the odds. But just look around. There's some people that have been here decades. You've been around a long time. You've defied the odds as well. You've been loyal and you've been faithful. Let me just say, God's watched your whole journey. Oh, hallelujah. He's been with you the whole time. Oh, glory to God. You see, inside of me looks like about like you. Inside of me. If you could see the real me. The real me don't have gray hair. The real me. Don't have to beg, Lord, help me trim up. Realize the real me is in there screaming. Is in there screaming. Are you with me? I'm in a race. And just because this body's got a little bit older, the passion has not died. Let me just come toward an end. Wow, you're a good group to preach to. It's no wonder Brother Doug's such a good preacher. I remember walking out of a meeting one night, and I walked through the doors, and a man looked at me and he said, one day, Brother Ron, you'll lose that enthusiasm. And I wasn't much older than you. I'm still waiting. Hallelujah. physical the other day, and he's 83 years old, and he was a bouncing around. So my future looks really good. Glory to God. It's our passion. It's our love affair.
Well, Brother Ron, you're emotional. Yeah, baby. Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I am. We had a sweethearts banquet yesterday. For those that don't know, we had one. And you know, I like emotion. I really do. I really like it. I really like it. You know, I married a wife that responds. It'd be kind of bad if you married somebody that was like a mannequin. And regardless of what you did, there was no reaction. Now that might be all right at the Baptist church, but that ain't good here. God just loves to come down and make love to his wife. He just loves to hear you respond. Are you with me now? I like pearls because I realize the cost of what it took to make them. So I like them. Don't get me wrong here, and don't throw rocks real quick, but I like to see pearls hanging around my wife's neck. And I have been guilty, because I am a man, of buying the same gift over and over again. And my wife is such a wonderful lady. She'll receive it just like the first time that she got it. She's so gracious. Then days later, she will tell me, "Ron, you got that for me last year." Now, I didn't even realize you had pearls on tonight. Just because he came last Wednesday and spoke to you doesn't mean he's got something, doesn't have something for you tonight. And there's just something about coming to church and just looking forward to it. Not just coming to church, but getting up in the morning and rolling out of bed and begin to just worship before him. There's just nothing like his presence coming in the car. And you create an atmosphere to where he'll come. Are you with me now? Now, I know this doesn't apply to you tonight, but for those that might be just a little bit dead, because I heard Brother Doug say it just a while ago, so it felt like it gave me a license to kind of plug this in. Psalms 150 says it like this: praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary and praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts and praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of a trumpet and praise him with a psaltery and a harp and praise him with a timbrel and a dance and praise him with strings, instruments and organs. Praise him on the loud cymbals and praise him on the high sounding cymbals. Now you're exempt if you don't have this. Let everything that hath breath. Army rising up. An invincible army rising up. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Brother Ron, Brother David must have got under the anointing that day to write something like that. Oh, okay. Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands.
serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Know ye the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into the gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Psalms 149 says it like this. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Praise him in the congregation of his saints. Let Israel rejoice with him that made them. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in a dance. Let them sing songs unto him, the timbrel and a harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. Oh, glory. This is more than a one-way street. The Lord taketh pleasure in his people. And he will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory and let them sing aloud with their beds. Let his high praises of God be in their mouth and a sharp two-edged sword in their hand. I'm finishing. I'm trying. Psalms 103 said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like an eagle. That's you. That's you. That's you. Hallelujah. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife has made herself ready. Glory. Glory. If this is the last time that I ever speak to you as an audience, I probably don't expect it to be. But I want to encourage you, never give up. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, hallelujah. They were gathered in the upper room, all praying in his name. Oh, they were baptized with the Holy Ghost and power for service came. Now what he did for them that day, he'll do for you the same. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them.